Ms. Magnus and I are doing. So want you right now, over 85 of them are going on. Be involved somewhere tomorrow on July 17th. Be involved somewhere, because there is so much for you to do no matter where you are. There's a virtual kickoff tomorrow at 12 noon. There's a virtual kickoff tomorrow, everyone, 12 noon. You can find that on mobilize.us/John-Lewis-actions. Go there to register. I'm going to say that again, everyone. A virtual kickoff is going on tomorrow at 12 noon, and you can find that registration on mobilize.us/John-Lewis-actions. And we want you to register so that you can be a part of that. Now, Ms. Magnus, I want you, like you said, we're going back to Alabama. And I want Devin to know we're coming right back to him as well. And Dr. Patterson, we certainly have not forgotten about you. But let me ask the young people, why is it important for Gen Z and young millennials to be leaders in this fight, along with our elders who have gone before us? Why is it important for us to be coalition building and leading this effort for voting rights? I want to hear from Ms. Janice Gentry, and then from Joshua, and then from Devin, if I can. Is that all right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll say we're not up next. We are up right now. So just back in the civil rights era, it was always the young people just kind of stirring the pot and making good trouble. And that's what really made the nation look at what was really going on. So, yeah, I just figure the time is right now. Enough of being like, oh, somebody else is going to do it. No, I got to do it now. I got to bring people along with me that are going to help make some change.
Understood. Joshua, I know you can echo some of those same sentiments. Is that right?
Hey, absolutely, man. I truly believe it causes some good trouble. Being from a civil rights family myself, the late Al Raby, who was my cousin, who worked with Dr. King, who set foundation in the state that he lived in. It is important for us to know our history in order to give our history. And so with that being said, it's profound for us to cause good trouble. And that's why on tomorrow, we're not only making good trouble, we're not only causing good trouble, but we're igniting good trouble across the state of Alabama with some amazing organizations like Woke Vote, the Young Progressive Black Council of Alabama, and the list just goes on of the amazing organizations. They're saying we are the generation to remind people who fought for us, and now we're ready to show the next generation the pattern that they left for us. We have to be able to share that with the next generation. We're that map. And so they gave us the map with the compass, and hopefully the next generation will follow.
Absolutely. And even and Devin, I understand even though your event is virtual, still very much so significant, still very much so impactful. Can you talk even a little bit about the vehicle you're using of social media and how you were able to make that switch from the historical high schools and then say, well, what we can still use this social media era to then go on virtually and do this? How is this impacting our generation even as we speak?
Yeah, for sure. So I knew that when we have to, you know, do this event, it had to impact the youth, whether it be at SC Norcom High School so we can get them engaged going forward when they are able to vote, or even on social media where the youth are, you know, putting on there. From high school age all the way up to college. We have that engagement there and we should tap into it. So I knew that being on Instagram doing an IG Live would be the perfect route because they're already there. Just go live and speak and, you know, they'll come. One thing that I learned while organizing with NAACP, Derek Lewis, who is now serving as the interim youth and college director of NAACP, he always told me we have to meet people where they are. And where they are right now is on social media. especially youth. So we should go towards Instagram and these places like that to really galvanize them and meet them where they are and just give them the information, give them the opportunity to interact with us and learn this valuable, valuable voter education information that John Lewis is always advocating for.
Absolutely. Now, don't let me let y'all forget about Ms. Magnus. I still got a real good.
I'm coming.
Co-host. That's right.
I have two things to say, actually.
You're still there.
And Cameron, you're going to get to talk as well. I'd like to ask from the young people. And first of all, let me just say to Joshua, I wanted to ask you if you were related to the late Al Raby, because I knew him. He was part of the reason Dr. King came to Chicago. So whenever I see that name, I am kind of wondering if that is a relative. That is someone that I worked with who was. Chicago was just one of those places that the civil rights movement, it was the civil rights of the South. So I'd like to ask Joshua, I'd like to ask Devon and Janice, and you, Cameron, the candlelight vigils, what does that mean to you guys regarding our fight for the national voting rights legislation? You know,
wow.
I'd like to hear what you guys think about that legislation. And I've been in the fight for a long time, but I want to know what you guys think about the legislation and how the candlelight vigils tie into that.
Absolutely. I will say, first off, yes, that is my cousin. And just the work that he instilled in us allowed us to continue to move on here in our family, doing a lot of civil rights work in the South and up north and Midwest as well. That candlelight, what it means is that the light has not burned out yet. We're still keeping the fuel to the fire. We're still hoping for justice. We're still hoping for the rights that we deserve. But not only are we hoping, but we're demanding it, and we're creating the atmosphere so others can know that things haven't changed, but we're progressing towards that change. We're creating a new outlet for it. So the candlelight vigil is special because it not only remembers those that went before us, those that fought before us, those that paid the payment for us, but it reminds us that we're not done yet because that light is still burning. And so while that's still burning, we have a mission and we have work to get done.
Thank you so much. Janice?
Yes, ma'am. So this event is very personal to me as well, and the Acts 2 just being able to highlight that, mainly just fighting against voter suppression, something that we have been fighting against, I feel like, for a long time, probably since my parents and grandparents and beyond generation. So just being able to make sure and just secure those voting rights for Black and brown people and to make sure that they stay here and just being able to have a say in the political process. And as far as planning for the event, again, just making it really personal to the communities that we're in, because I'm in the, I guess you could say, artistic space as well. So being able to bring in those different talents from people throughout the city, being able to honor John Lewis, and even being able to collaborate with other nonprofits in the area that are working towards social justice. So to me, it was just really a big collaboration effort just to be able to make sure that everybody felt included, artistic space, the nonprofit space, kids, millennials, Gen Z, Gen X, boomers, and beyond, everybody. So just being able to have an inclusive space for everybody, make sure everybody felt that their gifts can be used towards the fight for justice.
Right. As my pastor would say, Lottie Dottie and everybody. Devon, did you say
amen now?
We got a pastor on the phone. That's right.
That's
yeah, amen. Devon, and then after Cameron, I'd like to hear Dr. Patterson speak from an older perspective. But Devon, and then Reverend Cameron.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
On this legislation.
Yes, ma'am. So when it comes to legislation, that's definitely something we want to speak on tomorrow. And when it comes to the candlelight vigil, unfortunately, we won't be able to have that candlelight, of course, in person. But I think we are the candlelight. You know, we are the light that keeps this fight shining, because we're the youth, and we are training the next generation that's coming up behind us. And I believe it's so important and impactful to hear from one of our guests, who's not a TJC alum, but I think he could be maybe one day, Linwood Johnson. He was actually a witness to John Lewis's funeral. So I think it's that experience that we could really, you know, learn from, of how his funeral and that witness of it is the light that shines through and continues through us. Because just being there, that's an experience that not everyone has, you know? So I think hearing his experience, and then of course everyone on the call, will really be impactful, or excuse me, on the live will be impactful. I just look forward to it so much, as we can learn so much from it.
Is Linwood on the call?
No, ma'am, but he'll be on tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, he will be tomorrow. Okay. Reverend Cameron?
Real quick, I recall in 2020 when Congressman Lewis passed away, and I was fortunate enough to travel with Reverend Jackson to Washington, D.C. Again, this is July 2020. This is the height of COVID. So much was going on, but because of the relationship Reverend Jackson and Congressman Lewis had, he would not have missed that. And I remember going and being at the Capitol building and seeing the flag-draped casket of Congressman Lewis. I had one thing going through my mind at that time, and that was that I hope that one day that I would leave a legacy so potent that someone who's never met me in my life would feel so honored to travel hundreds of miles, at least just to bid me farewell. That was my sentiment toward Congressman Lewis. I had never met him in person, but it was in that moment that I said, I have to be have to really be in this fight beyond just wanting to do it for glamour, beyond just wanting to do it because it looks good. And so with these candlelight vigils, and I want to take it a different direction, for us here in Chicago, usually when I'm at a candlelight vigil, it's because there's been a young person that's been shot and killed in the streets. Much of that happens because we don't have the gun laws. And I know we're talking about voting that we're supposed to, but because we don't do the voting that we're supposed to, we don't have the different people who put in place gun laws that can stop some of these senseless killings. And given that sentiment, because we're usually in a candlelight vigil to honor someone's life who's been taken too soon, I believe this is such a great opportunity for us to turn that candlelight vigil narrative to something different, to honor the life of someone who lived a life that created rights for us. We forget that Congressman Lewis was not always Congressman Lewis. He wasn't always the conscience of the Congress. He was an organizer in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, even when he went across that bridge with a book bag on his back. And so this vigil, to me, gives us the opportunity, even here in Chicago and over 85, I can't tell you enough, across the nation, gives us the opportunity to turn our lens from what's going on in America to a man who has told us that your vote is precious and almost sacred. We can change the trajectory of this nation by doing this work and protecting our democracy, Ms. Magnus.
Thank you so much. Dr. Patterson, you want to do a link between what these young people have said to us and how we relate to the legislation. Absolutely. And how important it is.
Absolutely. And it's about the intergenerational handoff of this fight. Recently, a friend of mine gave me a sweatshirt that says, "My only job is to be a good ancestor." And just like my grandparents and my parents and my mentors like Reverend Wyatt and Reverend Barrow, they fought the good fight. They were our age once. They were Gen Z's age once. That's the age John Lewis was when he crossed the bridge. But we all have a responsibility to hand off to the next generation. But in doing so, we have to share wisdom and lessons learned.